deep in the forests of the Blue Mountains in New South Wales, there lies a secret location of the prehistoric Wollemi pine. Its discovery in 1994 by New South Wales Parks and Wildlife Officer David Noble would make national headlines. And my next guest, Wynne Jones, played a key role in the discovery and is one of the few people who knows the true location of the pine. Wynne is a former New South Wales Parks and Wildlife ecologist, nature guide, poet and artist. And for decades, Wynne has been at the forefront of efforts to protect and conserve the Greater Blue Mountains area and its biodiversity. He was involved in the push to have the Blue Mountains recognised as a World Heritage Site. He's discovered the locations of the rare dwarf mountain pine and he's helped to save areas from development. I'm very pleased to say that Wynne Jones is my guest this morning on Changing Australia. Wynne, good morning.
Good morning, Sally, and what a wrap-up you've given me.
I have there. I have to give you my bank details, Wynne, so you can sort me out there.
Yes, I'm afraid I've spent it all on celebrating the beautiful outdoors.
Indeed, indeed. Wynne, what is it about the Blue Mountains that is so special for you?
Well, I've spent most of my time here, much of my life. It's the tall forests. It's the running journey of the water, the mists, the clouds, and the deep valleys.
Do we fully appreciate the Blue Mountains, or for a long time it was regarded as much as a barrier rather than something of beauty and value in itself?
Well, that's been the Western perception from the colonial days. But now we have 7 million plus people come up to the mountains, but most of them only come up to the high mountains like Katoomba, the familiar places that were became a tourist haven in the post-1880s when people discovered they needed fresh air and a bit of the bush. I find it quite funny that, you know, Sydney was only a small place in those days, and when I grew up it was still a small place. I was born in Sydney, but my parents used to take me up here regularly.
How much of a sense of wonder did you have as a kid when you were seeing some of these forests in the Blue Mountains, Wynne?
Well, I was lucky because my grandfather actually came from up Ralston way, and at one stage he said to me, go see the Cape Deep Valley. Now, hardly any bushwalkers had been there. So I was bushwalking at the time, so I did go and see the Cape Deep Valley. He was so right. And, of course, that part of the world became the Great Wollemi National Park, which is almost half of the Greater Blue Mountains World Heritage Area.
Why is the Wollemi pine so special?
I think it's special not simply because it's an evolutionary survivor, that it is its own genus and, of course, its own species, named after my friend David Noble. And as a survivor, it represents all the good things humans need to engage with about survival. But there's more than just the Wollemi pine that's a survivor. You've mentioned the dwarf mountain pine, which is originally named Microstrobus, tiny cones, in fact, that means. And it clings onto the giant cliffs in the Upper Blue Mountains, but it too is a survivor. So it's lessons from nature that we should take notice of. And the closer you get to nature, the more lessons you learn.
What did you think when you first saw the Wollemi pine?
Yes, well, David Noble took me there to the place, and funnily enough, I was familiar with the area very well. But I'd gone the wrong way years before, and he had accidentally gone the right way, you might say. So here we were standing underneath this 35, 40-metre tree in a sandstone canyon, and I'm looking up at the blue sky. It was sort of beautiful and blue at the time. And there was this tree that looked altogether like a monkey puzzle tree to me. And the first instinct of the actual whole tree that I had was quite correct. It was a member of the Araucariaceae, and in which the monkey puzzle tree resides. So I thought, there's nothing like anything else around it. And the little fragments he brought in before did look like a giant fern. And he said, no, it's a bloody big tree win.
What is it about the survival of the Wallamai that led to it becoming, it's not only its own species, but its own genus win?
What is it about it that led to the survival? We don't fully know, but it probably is in what's called relict habitat, which is not the ideal habitat, but habitat that protected it from frequent fires for a start, although it responds amazingly well to damage and to fires by growing multiple trunks. That in itself is incredible. But it according to the fossil record, it was spread over a much bigger area. But I think it's a diversion to consider just the Wallamai pine. It's one of the incredible features of the Blue Mountains that led to World Heritage. The real survivors here, to me, the real important ones are the gum trees. There are more than 100 species of gum trees in this 1.5 million hectare World Heritage area, the tall trees.
Is the value and the uniqueness of the Blue Mountains, is it becoming better understood? And did the UNESCO inclusion help with that?
Sally, I think it did in a way, but unfortunately not enough money has ever been put into research and survey of this area so that we can understand it. And it's the most unfortunate thing that we often respond to the fires that are like of 2019 by then increasing our resources for research. But, you know, I've got friends now who are working virtually unpaid on the microstrobus and doing a fantastic job. These are younger friends of mine, of course, and this is where we need more boost to the research effort and the educational effort, because it's all very well for scientists to learn something, but as an ecologist, as a scientist myself, all my life I've passed on that knowledge to whoever it is that needs that knowledge. And of course, ultimately, the public, the community need the knowledge. And the Wallamai Pine story is a great one because we took that on board in the community here. We made it our own. And the community of the mountains still celebrates that as if they had discovered the pine, as if that was the great value of the Blue Mountains that it represents.
Do many people go on wandering and walks to try and find the pines?
There was a period, you know, when some of the rogue walkers and people did want to do that. We had to, you know, the community works in such a way of the outdoors that they knew who was thinking of it at the time and said, please don't go, please don't go. Now, I think there were probably a few journeys that went in there, but fortunately the word got round, and I think it is great and a tribute to this, the outdoors and walking and rock climbing communities, that the word got out and people haven't offended the area by going in there.
What does fire mean for the Blue Mountains and these incredible species, Wynne?
Right, well, you know, the story of fire here is quite tragic in many ways, but the human response to it is incredible. And in the case of the Wallamai Pine, in the 2019 fires, the National Parks people were prepared for that and went in and basically saved the major location of the pine from severe damage. And I take my a Kubra hat off to them for that. But more importantly, those fires came through and frequently burnt the Blue Gum Forest. And in the 2006 fire, I went in and with a team of bushwalking friends, and we measured and located and mapped all 2,000 trees of the Blue Gum Forest, because we thought that those fires were too frequent. They had damaged the forest, and we wanted to know what the forest would look like, would be measured like for future generations. We're handing that on now as a legacy for future generations to look after.
How important, Wynne, do you think it is for people who have a knowledge of the Blue Mountains to pass it on?
Absolutely critical. And that's what we're doing right now. Today we're having a meeting at Govert's Leap with some of the young people, including my eldest daughter, who's with me now, and my one of my younger sons, Milo, named after Milo Dunphy, by the way. And we're having just a meeting at Govert's Leap to say, we've got to go forward, we've got to go forward and celebrate. And you are the generation to do this. Andy McQueen, a great explorer and writer and bushwalker friend of mine, will be there too. So we've been trying to do this and in despair for a few years. Nobody was there to take it up, but suddenly our own children and grandchildren are taking up the legacy that was passed on to us by the ancient peoples, the indigenous, but also and especially by the 1932 bushwalkers saving Blue Gum on September the 2nd. And we're going to celebrate this in the Blue Gum Festival every year from now on.
Wyn, you're a man of many talents. I understand that you're also a poet. I was wondering if you could read a few lines for us.
Sally, this one is in my book, Mud Puddles, which I published recently. It's a celebration book. And I asked people who buy it or just look at it, don't read it from go to woe. It's not a go to woe book. It's an ecosystem in itself. This poem I wrote 35, 40 years ago on Naranik, which looks back at the great Jameson Valley. It's called Free Form Dozing. I was sitting on a rock at the Diamond Falls. And I'll read a small section out. Take the time to allow one to drift. Select a rock near a creek or in a quiet place in a forest away from the wind. Drift. Listen to the leaves and the insect people. Let the bird song pass over and around you. 'Tis time to feel the earth, recipient of starlight, and is the store of their histories. You are a witness. So absorb this knowledge and be content as the trees and the rocks and the insects and the other animals around you accept this perhaps unknowingly and are content.
Wyn, it's been lovely to talk to you this morning. Thank you so much for joining me.
Appreciate that and thank you very much, Sally.
Lovely to have a talk with Wyn Jones there. Very evocative about the Blue Mountains in New South Wales. Wyn's a former New South Wales Parks and Wildlife ecologist, a nature guide, and still a very active poet and artist. If you've got a suggestion for changing Australia, you must know someone who you think would tell us a good story about the way they have changed their community or working in their field, you can send that through. You can go to abc.net.au/changingaustralia to submit your ideas.